Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad locks, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. National Mortgage Lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Got up to do that. All my friends that come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's in tatters. My brain's been splattered all over Manhattan. Shake it up, should do that. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. We podcast the show out after every show on Twitter at OnTheBenchCBS and at Scott Pharrell. On our network website, CBSSportsRadio.com, and on Facebook / Pharrell on the Bench. We're on several apps, radio.com app, CBS Sports app, Apple Music. Welcome to our friends on the planet with no oxygen. Back on Sirius XM 206. Mafia is here tonight, his old stomping grounds. It's Sirius. Come on. We're everywhere. We're even on in hell. All right. Out on a bench. Yeah. Out on a bench. All right, I just ran out of my entertainment quota for the hour. Carver High just gave me the watch. He's like, you're over.
You got to be careful.
You go over, and then you get an email. Don't move the entertainment gauge. Don't overdo it. Keep it plaid and vanilla. That's what we're looking for here. We're underway in Lipstick City, Gonzaga and Florida State. Gee, I hope it's better than the other game. Was that Michigan and A&M in L.A.?
Yes, it was.
That was the worst game I've ever seen. Like, I gave up on it, 10 minutes in, it was over.
It was a tough watch.
I mean, you can't even watch a game like that. Was there anything worse than that? Seriously, are you kidding me? How pathetic was that game? 99-72, it was over.
They were down 30 at one point. I mean,
it was embarrassing. Let me tell you something. Two things I saw tonight that I found troubling. One, A&M did not show up to play basketball in the Sweet 16. That was the most embarrassing performance by a basketball team in the NCAA tournament that I've ever seen in my life. That was a team that did not show up to play basketball. They did not do anything. They didn't play defense once. And Nevada didn't score for 8 minutes in the first half. After they led by 12, they didn't score the last 8 minutes of the first half. They still lose by only one, but they gave up 20 at least layups in that game. Have you ever seen anything like the amount of layups and reverse layups that Loyola shot? I mean, every single basket was a layup. They just went right in and shot layups uncontested. I don't know whose defense was worse, Nevada's or A&M's. I'll say A&M because they gave up 99 points. Nevada at least came back in the game. But if you score one bucket, you win the game, right? They couldn't score for 8 minutes. They didn't score once for 8 minutes. That's why they lost the game. They lost by one because they couldn't score one basket, not even a free throw, in 8 minutes. I mean, you just can't win a game that way. Have you ever seen anything like it? A team not scoring for 8 minutes? 8 minutes without a single point. It was so embarrassing. I was like going, what? And this guy Musselman, the NBA guy, I mean, come on. Like, you can't get anybody to put it in the hole? He only plays six guys. So it's like, all right, you can't make it. You can't make it. Any of you other four? No. There you go. We lose. No one can score. I mean, you can't win a game if you don't score.
Well, I did see something exactly like it, just when you changed to the other game. I mean, Texas A&M turned the ball over like 10 times in the first half. They couldn't score. They were giving up wide open threes. And they were, you could see once they started getting down, once Michigan
they
started
quit.
On that run, not even that they quit. Like, they were so tight because they were just giving bad shots, turning it over. And
steals.
Then on defense, they're like flying by trying to get blocks. Like, no, just jump straight up and get in the guy's face. You fly by, he gets the easy foul. He gets right by you. Wagner gets open threes.
It was
ridiculous.
Bad.
It was terrible.
It was really bad.
It's hard to believe that that's the same team that absolutely dismantled North Carolina on Sunday. I mean,
that wasn't the same team.
They tore them apart on Sunday, and it was like,
those were their clones.
Who are these guys that
the
showed up tonight?
The clones. I mean, the clones showed up. The A&M backup team, the clones. That was the most embarrassing performance, seriously, I've ever seen. I mean, I don't care what anybody says in College Station. You know it. I know it. We all know it. You guys were terrible. You sucked. You didn't show up to play ball. I mean, you should be ashamed of that performance. Seriously. Don't talk about what you did last week either with that great win over North Carolina. That is so far removed from the disaster that you put on tonight. I mean, what a lame-ass performance. You guys are pathetic. Go back home and worry about football. You're not a basketball school. Shut up. I'm done listening to it. What an embarrassment. It really was. I don't know. It made me sick to my stomach. Ian Eagle is on here in about 7 minutes. He's doing the games in Boston tomorrow night on TBS. And then A. Sherrod Blakely at 11 Eastern, 8 Vegas strong time. Celtics, an NBA reporter for NBC Sports Boston. They'll be on. We're watching Kentucky, Kansas State. Kansas State up 2, 9 minutes left, first half. They were up, I think, 13-1, and then things have settled down since then. Gonzaga and Florida, 6-5 Zags early, 16-20 left, first half. And remember, Gonzaga never loses. What are they, 31 wins, 30 wins? They never lose. The Giants continue their offseason overhaul by trading JPP to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Does this move open up the Giants to taking NC State pass rusher Bradley Chubb with the second overall pick? So my question is, do you think they always wanted to get rid of him after he blew his hand off?
I mean, they signed him to a huge deal last year.
Well, those deals mean nothing in the NFL. All them fancy deals, they cut guys and trade them
in 5 seconds.
Also,
the guys that signed into that deal are all gone now.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Free agent safety Eric Reed, who Richard Sherman said earlier in the week, has not gotten a contract because of anthem protests, said he will not protest during the anthem going forward. Did not having a contract yet factor into Reed's decision? Of course it did. Sources say the Spurs held a players-only meeting to implore Kawhi Leonard to return. He is not playing. Do you really believe the players would be begging him to come back if he's not ready to play? Are you buying into that? It's the best time of the year. Chaos in the tourney. Baseball starting next week in the snow. Hockey and hoop playoffs right around the corner doing push-ups. We got the regional semis going on. The finals in the region are this Saturday and Sunday. NHL and NBA picks every day. Daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com is where it's at because Pharrell hits winners.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Florida State up 14-6 on Gonzaga. And believe it or not, 24-16 K-State on Kentucky right now. 6:50 left there. A lot left in the Florida State game. Now up 10, 16-6 with 14 minutes left. Ian Eagle, the great play-by-play man from CBS, going to be calling the games on TBS from Boston tomorrow night, and he's got great games, no doubt. Ian, first of all, it's great having you back on the bench. Take me back to the Syracuse-Michigan State game in the Motor City last week, and that that long stretch zone with their, you know, the way Syracuse defended that perimeter with these freaks they recruit there with these long arms that look like 737 wings on an airplane. I mean, that's probably the – and I don't even think he's got talent on that team. I think he's got, you know, the great defense, but I've seen way better athletes that he's had there at Syracuse in the past. But that defense still, with all those kids that I've never heard of, still play great defense against Michigan State. Man, did they frustrate them.
They did. They were baffled, Scotty. They are the tallest team in the country, and it showed against Arizona State, first four, first round against TCU, and then round of 32 against Michigan State. Those are three high-scoring basketball teams. All three teams averaged 80-plus points during the season, and all three teams could not crack 60, couldn't even get to 56. So that tells you something. It's been very stifling, and the fact that you have a quick turnaround and playing – the zone. I think that's really what affected Michigan State. Tom Izzo tried to make changes, tried to make adjustments. He put Ben Carter in, who had really not been in the rotation, thinking he would have a 6'10" big that would stand right along the free throw line and make decisions, either pass out of the zone or shoot over the zone. That didn't work. They were really struggling and frustrated, and Syracuse finds itself in a Sweet 16 in a year where Jim Boeheim doesn't even have one of his classic teams.
Right. They got like one guy that can put the ball in a whole battle. And they've played Duke at Cameron. They got whacked by 16, and Bagley and Carter figured out that zone. And I know you're not doing that game, but your thoughts on if, you know, Duke's already solved it once, but Syracuse, do you think they'll handle it better? And it's going to be weird to see them both like zoning each other to death in that game.
Yeah, you just nailed it. This is the weird wrinkle in this game, is that Mike Krzyzewski has played more zone this year than he has in his entire career, and a lot of it has to do with Jim Boeheim. They're very close. Boeheim was an assistant on Team USA, and Krzyzewski has acknowledged that Boeheim convinced him to play zone with all those All-Stars because they were not guarding well man-to-man, and it worked. And then Krzyzewski decided to work it into his philosophy this year because his guys were not guarding well man-to-man. And guess what? It's worked. I think part of the issue is because you can't simulate it in practice, most teams don't really practice the zone. So when you put a scout team out there, you can't simulate the height. You can't simulate the wingspan. Well, guess what? Duke can. Duke's been practicing it now for a couple of months. So probably the worst matchup for Syracuse in that. This team is ready for, prepared for it, and this coach knows the buttons to push. I don't think Syracuse gets embarrassed, but I would be shocked if they could make it four wins a row in this tournament.
So you're doing a game this year with your son. What did that mean to you? That had to be crazy.
Oh, beyond. Scott, beyond cool. You know, I think about for myself, I started the NCAA tournament working it for CBS in 1998. That's 21 years. My son is 21 years old, and the sheer fact that he wants to do this was cool enough. The fact that we were able to do it together in the same game, Miami and Syracuse, he did it for the student radio station that I worked at when I was at Syracuse. I did it for CBS. To have our two worlds cross over on that day was surreal.
Yeah, you had to be really proud of him. You guys did. That was a great thing that you did. I just thought it was fabulous. So talk to me about West Virginia. I love Javon Carter. He looks like he's my age, but he's got I mean, he's got some sick game. I love his game, but I got to tell you, and I love this West Virginia team and their press and everything about it, but you know, when they go up against really good teams, like in their own conference, that's where they lost those 7 of 10 games. So now they're going up against a team, as you know, as you're studying for this game and you've seen Nova, they mean business. And I mean to tell you, they're not afraid of some press defense. They can, I think, handle any team in the country. But that's a real heavyweight fight you're doing in Boston.
Yeah, two things strike me, Scott. I think with Villanova, having called the NBA now for 24 years, they're the closest thing from a rhythm standpoint as a play-by-play announcer that I find in college basketball, that they make the extra pass, that they can make threes, they make winning plays, they move the ball around. Just even in the way you call the game, you can anticipate makes that you just can't for other teams in college basketball. The second part is if you handle the press, which I think Villanova will be able to handle, Phil Booth can handle the ball. Bridges can handle the ball. They have enough versatility. You actually can get open threes. If you break that first wave, you'll get clean looks. It's just a matter of not being frenetic and being able to lock in and hone in on your strengths. That's a strength for Villanova. They've made more threes than any team in the country. I know that West Virginia can affect your style and your approach. I don't think Villanova will be rattled, though I think West Virginia is going to give them all they can handle.
Yeah, no doubt. I got to ask you, so you wouldn't believe this, but I went to see that double overtime Pelican net game that night at the Barclays. I took my wife and kids to that game, and I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm going to Brooklyn to see a Nets game. I want to kill myself. But that was the greatest game ever. Rondo had a triple-double, and AD yep. went for 44 and 17, and the building was lit because they were down 30, and they came back, and the game went to double overtime. They lost by 10. But that was the best NBA game I've been to in 10 years.
Well, and that's the thing, Scott, because I get a lot of reaction from people. They say, oh, you're calling the Nets, they're struggling again. And I try to explain to people, you don't understand. When you go into an NBA arena, there's a chance that you're going to see something you haven't seen before. There's a chance that the level of play is going to blow you away with a front row seat, 10th row seat, upper deck seat, and you'll walk out looking at the person next to you saying, was that just awesome or am I crazy?
Right.
Those were not the two best teams in the NBA by any stretch, but it is a really good product. There's a reason why the NBA is where it is right now. They have keyed in on a couple of key things in our world, which is the soap opera mentality within social media, players going up against players, carrying over on the court, and the skill level is off the charts. That game that you're talking about, Scott, I understand your reaction. It was one of those games where you walked out of there saying, did you just see what I saw?
Right.
Anthony Davis, he is incredible. And Rondo, when he is on, can really light up a building.
I mean, I love both those guys. And if Boogie was there, it would have been even better. I think Rondo's one of my favorite players, even though all of his issues, whatever, aside. I still think he makes offensive plays and looks and no looks and passes and alley-oops like no other. And AD's just a freak. Let me ask you about Texas Tech-Purdue. What a game. I don't think Purdue's the same team, obviously, without Haas. But I still think Harms is so long.
Yeah.
When he's defending inbounds plays at ends of game, and I mean, he's just a shot alterer no matter what. He's a skinny toothpick, but I think he can alter the paint shots and the low block and elbow shots.
And Pharrell, he's not intimidated. Just having seen him earlier today, our group had a chance to talk to him. Allie LaFour sat down with him and blown away by his confidence level. This is not too big for him. Look, are they going to have to change a bit? They are. Haas didn't average 33 minutes per game. He was more of a 23-minute-per-game guy. They would reserve his energy and try to conserve what he brought to the team because they realized they couldn't push it beyond that 23-minute barrier. So they know how to play without him. Is it an adjustment? It is. But I don't think Purdue is lost without Isaac Haas. The problem for them, they're going against a Texas Tech team that now believes. They're guard heavy, and Keenan Evans is a player. But their freshmen have shown that they belong, and that's Culver and Zaire Smith. They also have a couple of big guys that they can rotate in and will play a physical style. I think Texas Tech has got a little something about them. This really could be one of the better Sweet 16 games on the board.
People that haven't seen Texas Tech play, watch Keenan Evans. He's a hell of a ball player. My last question for you is for fans that never get to see behind the scenes. Tell people what it's like when you go to, like, production meetings before you broadcast these NCAA games, like the day before or the night before, and you go to all these TV meetings. What fans don't know about what you do to get ready for a TV broadcast.
Yeah, it's really, for me, the biggest challenge of the year from a play-by-play perspective because it's an avalanche of information, and you want to immerse yourself in it. So for me this past week, I had the first four in Dayton, so you have to prepare for four teams. One of those teams moved on to my next area, which was Detroit, so that was 11 teams of preparation. I got the call on Sunday night at 9 p.m. after the selection show. I was on a flight at 8 a.m. Tuesday morning, going to Dayton. So you basically have 36 hours to get your head straight and make sure you feel comfortable and confident with these teams. And not just to have a surface knowledge, to really feel as if you've done the work to know where they've been throughout the year, how they got down this path, how their journey has gone to the NCAA tournament. The production meetings, you're melding together with your people, and you're trying your best to really be the conduit between the event and the fan. I know how people go gaga over this event. I don't want to do anyone a disservice, and that means being ready, being enthusiastic, and being completely locked in and focused beyond belief for these games.
Hey, you're just so fantastic at calling games. I mean that. I always enjoy when I'm watching a game and you're calling it. I know I'm in a good place and I'm in good hands when you're calling it. Couldn't be happier for you with your son's success. That's just terrific for you and your family. Congratulations on all your success and his as well. I'll be rooting for him, and I don't have to root for you. You're already a badass. Ian, thanks so much for coming on the bench as always.
Scott, always. Always love being on with you. We go so far back, and I think back to that day where you walked into the WFAN studios and you and I just shared a few moments together, and I knew right then and there that there was going to be a friendship. So
it's great.
I really appreciate the kind words.
It's true, Ian. So thanks so much for that, because no one else here has been nice to me. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'll see you, Ian. Great job.
I love you,
that's my guy, Ian Eagle, calling the games in Boston on TBS tomorrow night in Beantown. Should be great games. That West Virginia-Nova game is sick. And then a nightcapper with Texas Tech and Purdue. I mean, those are the two best games. No wonder he's calling them, because he's a badass.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So, Carver High, last night when you finally got to your car at 3 in the morning.
A long journey home.
4 in the morning, whatever it was, after you got off that last train. I think the train was at 3. You got home at 4:30 in the morning?
Correct.
So then it, you know, between 4:30 and 5 in the morning, when you drove from the train to the driveway, you said that that there was a little, I mean, there was a lot of snow that had landed between, you know, 8
right,
p.m.
Wow.
and 3, 4 in the morning. So at 5 in the morning, you said you had to, like Dr. Zhivago style, in the Russian mountains, drive through piles of snow. What happened there?
Yeah, the area wasn't exactly plowed yet. I mean, there was a couple of streets that were, but for the most part, and the parking lot at the train station where I left my car was not plowed.
It was so not good.
I had to blast my, you know, little Hyundai Elantra through everything, which I ended up doing.
Car decent in the snow or not?
It's been pretty good to me this year. I mean, I've only had it, you know, a year and a half.
Right.
But it's pretty good. It's been all right for me. Other than that time when
was this a front wheel drive car?
Yeah. Yeah, which is tough. I used to have Jeeps and stuff, and it was a lot better.
Right.
When the snow would come through.
I did, too.
And then I got to my block, and my block is kind of not exactly a main road, so nobody had been
down. They don't hit it.
Nobody had hit my block, and not only nobody hit my block, but my driveway or anything like that.
It was even worse.
My wife parks in front of the house in the street, and I park in the driveway.
Are you allowed to park in the street where you live?
Yeah, where we in our town.
Not where I am.
So I had to just barrel my way into the driveway. It was a messy situation, but I was able to get in there and finally get in the house.
Mavi, have you ever seen anything like how I have a gigantic garage, but I have so much crap that I can't park my cars in my garage, so I have to leave my cars out in the elements?
And you've always had that problem. You had in the old house, you got your car in, and for a while, when your wife had the smaller, like, crossover, you got it in. And then once you got the big truck, you couldn't put it in. It was just yours that was going in. And then when you're moving to the new house, you're like, I went and measured the garage. It's, you know, it's big enough. I can get hers in. We get both cars in there.
And the second
you moved in, all the crap went in there, and nothing's been cleared out since. So no car has been in there since you moved in.
There's nowhere to put it.
No, because you have everything in there. Like, you just piled stuff up in there. And it's not like when you move in, you dump stuff there, and then you move it out. Just more stuff has been added in. You got the pinball machine in there. You got, like, random tables that you decided you didn't want.
That's the worst. And so when there's storms, I go out and the cars and trucks are covered in snow.
Right, you got to clear them off, scrape them off.
It's the worst. I should be parking in the garage and pull right out. Hate it. I swear, if there's another nor'easter or another snowstorm or another blizzard, I'm gonna. That's it. I'm done.
This was the end.
I'm done. I'm done.
Well, you know what? If you ever don't have a bar mitzvah, then you can clean out your garage one weekend and maybe get your car in there.
But I do have more bar mitzvahs.
This weekend?
Not this weekend. This weekend, I've been suckered into a dinner party. Remember I told you with people I don't know.
So when the Elite Eight's going on, you're going to be sitting at dinner with people you don't even know.
Yes, but I will at least be going to a you know really good restaurant so I can pretty much just eat my face off really good food. The place is really good, right? So I'll just eat good food and pretend like I care.
Just constantly have your mouth full so you just magically can't talk for some reason.
Do you think the guy's listening right now? Can you imagine the guy that I'm going to dinner with? I don't even know him, and he's listening right now. I'm on 206.
Wouldn't be the first time you talked bad about someone to them.
Or texted someone.
Exactly. That's what I was That's what I was referencing.
I had a bad week with text messages, didn't I?
Just the one.
Well, that one pretty much, I think that took care of the year.
Took care of the whole week right there?
The whole year. That was a bad miss text, whatever you call it. Is that a text error? Is that a
missend?
A missend, two-run error? All right. So, anyway. So, we had a championship game that we were supposed to play on Wednesday night. And so, when the blizzard was going on, I asked the guy if we should, let's just cancel the game. I mean, there's a blizzard. It's a state of emergency. Let's just cancel the game. And the guy was like, no, let's wait a few more hours and see how it goes. And I was like, all right, Pharrell with it however way you want. No one's showing up for that game tonight, so have at it. And then, then I ended up, like, sending nasty text messages about his decision, except the problem was, Mafia, I sent them to him.
Yep, right to him.
I sent it right to the guy that I was talking crap about. I'm like, you miserable mother, go yourself. Oh, and I'm like, sorry, dude, I wasn't meant for you, even though it was. It was all about you, actually. But have a nice day. So anyway.
By the way, just a quick update, because we know that gambling rules the sports world.
Right.
Your boys, the Mavericks, were getting 8 against Utah. We're down 9. And Gobert commits a foul with 22 seconds left. The guy hits both free throws. They dribble it out. They cover.
So, all right, let me get
this. They lost by 7.
The Jazz?
No, Dallas lost by 7.
But they were getting 8.
They were getting 8. They were down 9.
And I
got fouled with like less than 30 seconds left and hit both free throws to cover.
And I had the points.
You had the 8.
Thank God. I needed that. So, you're telling me later from the hotel we're allegedly talking to some ramblers?
Allegedly?
Allegedly. All right, so I have to say this, at least, Carver High, at least these games, the nightcap games, are both good.
Yeah, I got heavy action on the Zags, and Kentucky downed, 4 at the half here? So.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought, in all honesty, even though it was a one-point game, the Loyola game, it seemed really like a good game. I didn't find it to be a good game because when one team doesn't score for 8 minutes, that makes me sick to my stomach. So I thought they should have lost by 15. You don't score for 8 minutes, you should lose by 15. Somehow they got back in the game and they still blew it, right? They got down 4, then they hit a 3. There was 1 second left. They couldn't do anything else. They lose by 1. But I didn't think it was a good game.
No, Loyola Chicago controlled that. And then Nevada had like that 8-0 run, in the last 4 minutes to get it within one, but then they couldn't finish it off.
They shot, I don't even know if you can find out how many layups. I'll ask this kid when I get him on. I mean, I have never seen a team in a tournament game, like a championship level, one and done tournament game where you're like in big trouble, right? Like you can't make a mistake. You lose, you're finished. How is it that a team shoots at least 12 layups. I mean, all alone, no one around him, reverses and layups. And not only that, like little teeny 5'5" point guards doing it. Right? Like little guards just going straight to the rim. No one contested it. You saw it, Carver. I didn't that like were you amazed that you were seeing them shoot all them layups? You gotta be kidding me.
They were dominating them on points in the paint. It was just all of their baskets were coming inside underneath the hoop. It was ridiculous.
All reverses and little layups off the glass.
I'm looking at the shot chart right now.
Right.
Made shots.
Right.
They literally hit six shots outside of right at the basket, and that's it.
Outside of the paint. Six made hoops outside of the paint.
And that was it.
The whole game.
So I'm right. Like, every shot they took was a layup the whole game. Like, it wasn't a good game when a team can shoot 90% of their shots at the rim. Like, they literally shot layups the whole game. Like, Nevada never played defense. I don't care what anyone says. Musselman, the color guy, the play-by-play guy, analysts, network TV guys. I don't get. They never played defense. They couldn't stop them from shooting layups. It made me want to hurl. Seriously. And then the other game was so bad, I won't even talk about it. Like, congratulations to Michigan. They literally destroyed A&M so badly that, like, I'm starting to think that they're automatic, right? They're going to the Final Four. I mean, who's going to beat them? They're killing people right now. And they're just, their defense, Beeline's defense is so good that look what they did to A&M. I mean, look what they did to them. It was so embarrassing, that game. So I think it's a combination of they were red hot. They were shooting 60% in the first half, right? That's game over. Any team that shoots 60% in a game, they don't lose.
They were shooting even better from outside the arc. It was like over 70% from outside three. I mean, Wagner was 3-3 from out there.
I mean, they beat him by 28 and 99-72, I think, or something like that. Is that about right? Was that the score?
99-72 was the final. They finished
seven,
up
they beat him by 27. Yeah. I mean, honest to God.
62% from the field and 58% from behind the arc.
Say that again?
62% from the field and 58% from behind the arc.
I mean, there's no way you lose a game like that. So who do they play now? They play that...
winner of the Gonzaga-Florida State game.
So they play the winner of this nightcap. Are you surprised at all that Florida State's up one on Gonzaga?
No, I think that this will be a somewhat close game. I'm hoping for Gonzaga to eventually pull away late in it, but I think that it'll be a close game.
You don't seriously think, Mafia, that Kansas State up 4 at the half on Kentucky can beat them?
I wouldn't think they could, but the way this game has gone so far, they got out to the early lead, Kentucky came back, and then they didn't wilt. Then they were up again by, like, you know, 7 or 8 points. Kentucky went on an 8-0 run just before the half to make it 29-30. And then they hit a big three. Like, every time Kentucky comes back and tries to get right in there and tries to take it over, they answer. So at this point, I'm going to say they're in control. Kentucky's got to make some big moves in the second half.
Forget this game. You just got to look at everything that's happened in this tournament. I think they absolutely have a chance to win this game tonight.
So can someone explain to me, seriously, in that game, how that kid has Gilgeous-Alexander has 13 – I got to figure this out. It's got to be free throws, right? 11 of 12 free throws because he's 1 of 7 from the floor and 0 of 1 from downtown, but he leads Kentucky with 13 points because he went to the line 12 free throws for one guy. What's wrong with that picture? How did that guy get to the line 12 times he shot? That's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, that's like crazy to call us by the refs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.